This week's Talk on to Walk on Life Chat guest is a fabulous friend of mine, Nick Byrne. A dreamer, a thinker and doer, she sees possibility absolutely everywhere. She's approaching 20 years as a serial entrepreneur, and along with her partner Sharon, they employ about 40 people across their Urban Calm Salons, Training Academy and Spa with a Purpose, Mini Madams. Nick is now taking all that business and life experience and channeling it into her latest purposeful venture, Girls with Dreams Club. The aim is to provide much needed support and guidance to girls throughout their challenging teenage years so they can go out into the world with confidence to pursue their dreams. Those of us who know and love Nick think of words such as resilience, grafter, and seriously smart. She's also incredibly real when it comes to sharing her thoughts on mindset and hard work. She describes herself as an accidental entrepreneur, but she's actually the epitome of what's needed to walk on and go after your dreams. And she's definitely best placed to spearhead a project to encourage and prepare the next generation of fabulous females to do the same. So let's talk on to walk on with Nick and let's see where it leads. I'm really happy that you've come on the podcast because not only are you a fabulous female, fabulous entrepreneur, you are a woman on a mission. And I want to start with your latest project, which is Girls with Dreams Club, because it's so topical right now. And you are somebody who takes action in relation to issues, many issues that we'll probably talk about along the way in the podcast. But this particular one is one that strikes a chord with your heart, isn't it?
Yeah, completely. So Girls with Dreams Club has been, I don't know how to label it. I don't know whether it's an initiative, a project, a platform. And the more that I'm exploring it, especially over the last couple of months, actually a business. But sometimes when you say a business, you think of something that's like a commercially trading organisation. And actually, you know, there's lots of organisations that do trade, but do it from more from a community interest kind of socially trading organisational perspective. And I guess that's potentially where Girls with Dreams may end up. But initially, it's just an idea of mine, which has been bubbling away probably for about 5 years. We did want to launch it pre-COVID. We actually had an event lined up and then for middle of March, believe it or not. Then obviously it happens and we all know, we all know what happened then. And then it's just took a while for us to get back on track in terms of the business, for me to get back on track mentally, you know, to have the capacity to pull something like this together.
Yeah. And what an event you've pulled together. You don't do things by halves, do you? Give me some of the speakers. Just give me a quick overview of the speakers that you've got coming in talking to these girls. And the age range is 13 to 17, isn't it?
Yeah. So we've got an event on the 25th of November and we're holding it at Blackburn House, which, you know, I'm really happy that we were able to secure that venue, and the venue have been really supportive. Given the history of that building in terms of, like, you know, a school for girls, and now being a women's enterprise and training and development centre. So the whole concept of Girls with Dreams for me is I just love Liverpool. You know, I credit my, I don't know whether I would be able to achieve the things that I've achieved in business had I not been in a city like Liverpool. You know, my idea is there's this fabulous resource in the city of inspirational leaders, founders, you know, really like amazing personalities from a vast array of sectors. And then also we've got, I think what's emerging is this really amazing pool of health and wellbeing practitioners. So the idea of Girls with Dreams is not for it to be like a traditional come and speak to someone about a job in tech, come and speak to someone about a job in fashion, which has absolutely got its place. And, you know, I love seeing the projects that are emerging around those. But actually to talk about the life skills, the personal development skills that are a lot more accessible, I think, than what they were when we were growing, the podcast, you know, people you can follow on social media, you can share information about strategies, life hacks, that kind of thing. So almost coupling these two areas together. So we will be talking about career paths and opportunities and how to get into this sector and what you need to to do well in a certain industry, but we'll also be underpinning it all by exploring areas around personal growth, self-development. So our launch event, as I say, is the 25th of November. And even though this has been something I wanted to do for a while, after the summer, I was like, right, we need to make this happen. And going back to what I said before about tapping into connections, and you were on this list, I sent a random text message out. I think it was on a Tuesday night. And was like, right, I want to do this. Most people know I've wanted to do it for a while. You and I have spoken about it previously. And I just sent this message out. I think there was about 10 or 11 people. I want to do this. What can you do to help me? I want to do it on this date, which I think was October the 11th initially. I wanted to do it on October. And this was probably the 2nd. No, it wasn't the 2nd of October. It was early on in September. It was like back, kids had gone to school. And it was like getting back into, you know, business mode. Sent this message out and got in the shower. Do you remember me telling you? Got in the shower. I was watching my hair and I was like, am I kidding? No, launching a business, launching a business, a website, kind of raising the profile of it in what I think was about 4.5, maybe 5 weeks. And I got out of the shower and, you know, almost everyone had replied. I think it was about 9:30 at night. It wasn't even like business hours. But again, that's a testament to, you know, the lovely, this group of people that I've got around me that helped me, you know, just get by with a little bit of help from your friends. That's like so true, so true. So in the shower, I kind of decided it wasn't going to be October the 11th. And I think it was you and a few other people went, love it, Nick, whatever you need. Or do you think that date is just a little bit ambitious? So I was like, actually, yeah, I just realised that in the shower. So what we're going to do is we're going to launch it on that day. And we did, you know, we were able to get a website up and running, and that from Wow Marketing has been amazing. So much more than just a web developer. She's really helped us, you know, get it up and running. And she's still involved now, you know, with some of the marketing side of things. I think this is a website in 2 weeks. We come up with the branding because we didn't have any branding for it. Yeah, it was turned around really, really quickly because I wanted to try and get the event done before Christmas, and super conscious that, you know, after that last week in November, we get into the Christmas period. People have commitments, you know, there's, you know, light trails and Santa visits and the Christmas parties and everything that gets into the mix. So we wanted to do it then. So a super tight time scale, but, you know, not only to launch a new business, but to get, you know, a good caliber of speakers on board, and then also to, you know, to get the girls, which ultimately is if that doesn't happen, if we, you know, if we build it and they don't come, then what have we built it for? The event is to kind of launch what Girls with Dreams is all about, which, as I've said before, is connecting young girls to people who can just support and guide them. It's going to be super practical, and we are
going to workshops, haven't you? And what I've loved about it is when we did get together that day, it was with Sarah, was it Sarah? And well, how fabulous was she? And she just made it between you and I and Sarah. We wanted to definitely make it relatable, and she's a gift, isn't she, in terms of that? You know, we want to make it relatable. To Liverpool girls in particular. I mean, it may, you know, the ultimate dream would be to expand it.
This, for me, it's very much a Liverpool project because there is initiatives that, you know, there's global initiatives, there's national initiatives.
Yeah.
But for me, what's unique about Liverpool is, you know, it's this, like, you go out and you meet someone in the toilet and either you're related to them or you end up being best mates with them.
Yes.
You know, we wake up connection and conversation.
Yes.
And, you know, I want to just capitalize on that, on the willingness for people to help and to get a buzz out of seeing people evolving and people growing and doing well. I'm never say never, but my ambition is not to create something that's outside Liverpool. My ambition is to do something that is for for the young women in our city.
Oh, but what a case study it'll be, because I know that's what's going to happen, and I think people will probably end up copying it, which again would be a fantastic outcome, because the whole idea is we just want to make it, you want to make an impact on young girls. And the relatable aspect for certainly for Liverpool is the concept of the three workshops, which I love, which is the how to have a boss day, how to feel boss. And how to be a boss mate. And what I love about that is these are issues that girls and boys, but in particular girls with anxiety and all the stuff that's going on in terms of mental health, it just makes it relatable to them. And it's something that they will be able to contribute back to as well. And, you know, it's not just about telling them what to do and giving them the tools and tips. It's about getting them interacting with it as well. Yeah, and I think that's going to be really important to keep them engaged and keep them, you know, get them invested in this.
I think, you know, what you said, we have the session here with Sarah, who is more than a gift. We toyed with how do we pitch this, right? Because what we might put out to, I don't know, a sponsor or, you know, or a funder potentially, it would be very different to what we would need to put out to a 13 to 17 year old to get them to connect with this and see it as something that they would come along to. So for instance, you know, we've talked about, we wanted a session on healthy relationships and what is a healthy and an unhealthy one. We wanted to talk about boundaries. We wanted to talk about managing conflict. You know, all the things that if you were to listen in on the lives of young girls today, those things will come up. Oh, she said this. Oh, I don't know how to answer that on this WhatsApp. Oh, they're making feel this. A lot of that is, you know, if you unpicked it, is to do with how we manage our relationship with ourselves and with other people. That day we were in Minnie Madden's, where I am today, and we just like thrashed out, and you know, boss is, you know, it's very colloquial, it's a very much a Liverpool term, isn't it? You know, even when you're trying not,
it means great, by the way, for anyone, because I do have international listeners. It does go beyond Liverpool.
Fantastic, you know. It's the best, even if you try not to use it, which, you know, you and I have worked out in the city before, where you do sometimes try and lose some of your accents and some of the phrases that we use, you still use it.
It's a great word.
It's awesome.
It works, doesn't it? It works. I love it. I think what I loved about what you said was about your network and you use the term friendships it almost in the same sentence. And I think what's okay, COVID and everything had its massive challenges, there's no doubt there, and again we'll come on to that for you, but I think what's come out of that has been more of a network of friendship rather than it being more transactional in business and more this is what I can do for you, what can you do for me, whereas now I think people are much more the older generation, which we want to now pass on to the younger generation, we're much more conscious of where we spend our time and much more purposeful in what we're doing when we're spending that time. And I think so many more of us now want to support each other and want to be there for each other from not only a supporting point of view, but also what can we achieve together as a group. And I think that's what you've brought, Nick, and it's brilliant. And that's why people reply to you at 9 o'clock at night. You're going to open it because you know that it's going to be something worthwhile.
Oh, that's so nice of you to say. And mutual, this is the thing, you know.
Yeah.
This is the thing about a relationship. People have got to, you know, the two parties have got to, it's appreciation, isn't it? And it's like, I would do this for you, so I know you would do it for me. And those relationships are developed by them, mutual respect and being there for each other. And, you know, what's nice about what you've just talked about is that you're seeing that in your circles as well. Mm. Almost like a bit of, it's this consciousness, isn't it? Yes. And everyone just being a bit more mindful, a bit more considered, reflecting on what they want out of the relationships that they've got. And going back to Girls With Dreams, you know, if we can be engendering that in people from a younger age, then how powerful is that?
Yes.
Because, you know, I think I said before, you know, the access to psychology, neuroscience, you know, people talking about how our emotions work, is a lot more than what it was when we were growing up.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, you pick your phone up and someone's psychoanalyzing you on your phone. I'm that person. You know, there's an element to that that needs to be developed in terms of critical thinking, so you don't think you are everything that the phone tells you that you are.
Yes.
But 100%. I think just in terms, and Sarah and I have had these conversations about this, like, consciousness and everyone's kind of mindset. I had a chat with someone who's been going to therapy for something, and you wouldn't think she was the sort of person who's gone to therapy, but she said, I can't believe it. She went, it's just great. She went, because I normally go to these family parties. She went, and we all want to kill each other. You know, you go to the family party. She went, but now, she went, I'm just dead calm. She went, and we talk it out, because she's developed strategies rather than being like, with each other. It's like, you know, understand, you know, I am maybe there being like this because of X, Y, and Z. So if I actually, you know, go, do you want a hug? Rather than let's, like, have a fight. It's just, you know, that's amazing if more people are being exposed to just thinking about how they live their life a little bit differently. Mm. And they were just talking more and having more empathy and trying to understand where people are coming from, which ultimately is empathy. And, you know, so perhaps through the pandemic, when we have more time alone, you know, people will listen to this stuff, and because there was more time for reflection, there was more time to maybe 100%. Research things that maybe we've been a bit more passive about when we were just so busy on this wheel. And then as a result of that, when we've got back on the wheel, our thoughts and what we expect is different, because we've had that time to pause and digest things that maybe we wouldn't have done before.
Yeah, 100%. And I've definitely been there too. I hold my hands up pretty much in every podcast and say, my counsellor is still at the end of my phone, because that's what I started it about halfway through lockdown, thinking I could do it all by myself. I was in that reflective mode and I took that step, and he's still there, you know. I'm still like, you know, okay, it's not as often, but again, massively, massively helped me without a doubt. And it's all the power of talking and what we're trying to do now, and certainly with this podcast, and, you know, reconnecting with the likes of yourself, who we've always been like there but not there, and busy and this, that and the other. It's taking those strategies and sort of sharing them, you know, and that's what get with each other and now with the next generation.
Totally, because the amount of people I speak to these days who have got some sort of coach, And you know, without trying to sound negative, sometimes it's people that I've gone, really, you know, really, but they talk about how transformational it's been for them, and you know, just having someone to chat to help them hold themselves a little bit more accountable, to just check in and go, those things that we talked about last time, I've been doing them, and do you know what, I've seen an impact. I've seen how improved things are as a result of X, Y, and Z. There's a revolution, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And you've got the likes of, you've got fabulous Bo Cairns, who plays for Liverpool Women's Football Club. And, you know, she's just been awarded, I think it was a rising star. And, you know, again, she's only 22. So it's, you know, the girls will find her highly relatable. And she, I've no doubt, has got a brilliant story to share around mindset and what she's had to go through to get to where she is. So it's not just about her being a footballer. No, it's definitely about her mindset.
Not the easy bit, but it's like, she's really good at football.
Yes.
So she went into sports, and this is the path she took. She, you know, she went into an academy. She did this. You can Google that and find that out.
Yes.
What we want our contributors to talk about is the stuff that you can't just Google and find out, you know, but without giving too much away. But, you know, when her and I spoke, when she agreed to get involved, which I'm delighted over, she was saying, you know, all the family parties that I have to miss because of training, you know, the diet, the discipline, the mindset, like you don't just wake up and become a pro athlete.
No.
You know, there's so much more to it, which if you want to go down that road, you need to be conscious of and you need to commit to. So with all our speakers, you know, that's what we want, is to be pulling out the stuff that, you know, the careers advisor won't tell you if you want to work in fashion, you need to do this BTEC and you need to do that. Really practical information, and you do need that, but what else do you need?
I love it. So if you have a daughter, a niece, a goddaughter, friend's daughter, if you're working with youngsters, definitely, we'll put the links in the show notes, Nick, and on social media as well. But if they Google Girls with Dreams Club, it'll go straight through and they'll see the link to register. Yeah, and obviously it's not just going to be, this is the launch event, but there's going to be much more to come. So if you can't make that date, then please do still keep an eye on how this fabulous initiative or business is going to evolve, because I know there's lots of conversations going on, and I think we'll be getting you back on this, Nick, so watch that space. I think it's natural that we talk about Mini Madams next, because it's the next generation down again, isn't it?
Yeah, and you're so right. You know, Girls with Dreams is very much, you know, an evolution of Mini Madams. So Minis is a children's day spa and party venue, which we've had for it'll be 6 years in March. So it would have been really easy for us to just open a place where it was just about, you know, the characters, the glitter and the polish. And don't get me wrong, when the children are coming, that's what they're coming for. But everything that we do at Minis is underpinned by what are our values, which are around like empowerment, positivity, kindness. You know, we have a Mini Madam's Promise, which they do at the end of every party. And it talks about beauty coming from within, building on our friendships and being kind, using kind words.
It's huge, because what you learn as a kid, you're like sponge, aren't you? You know, and it carries, you know, and you're getting them hopefully now before. And we won't go on about social media. That could be a whole podcast in itself, the benefits and the minuses and whatever. But you're instilling those values in them from such an early age, which obviously there's the parents doing it and hopefully the schools. But when they're doing it in a fun environment, like a spa with the glitter and the nails and the pouting and whatever, and then you're weaving that into something that's fun, it's more likely to stick. You have this business and of your salons, and it's very much family, isn't it? It's an extended family. And I honestly, truly believe, apart from your drive and your tenacity and determination and all that, I truly believe that's been a key to the survival of the business and your success, because you really do look after your staff, don't you? And that means that they look after you back. I know there'll be issues along the way, but that's what definitely one of your values from what I know of you.
I always say I can make someone a good therapist, or the team can make them a good therapist, a good hit, but I can't make someone a nice person. So the key is, you know, when we're recruiting, do they connect with Sharon and I? Then we have to see, do they connect with the team?
Yeah. You mentioned your superhero. I know you've called her that, and I thought it was so apt. Sharon. How gorgeous. And she's probably going to roll her eyes, because she'll come off this podcast with another idea. But I'm convinced that you two should write a book or do something. Seriously, because how many businesses, I knew the stats were, there's only 25% apparently of all businesses survive.
Really?
More than 15 years. And especially in a partnership, Nick. You know, I've been there. I was in, you know, I've got the divorce papers to prove mine. You know, I was in business with my ex for 7 years and took a massive toll. And there'll be a million other stories like mine, but I don't think there are many stories like yours. I'll be honest, it's brilliant.
I hear these stories. I know people personally who've been in partnership with their friends or with family members, and it's gone bad. And when it goes bad, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know? And then you see, you know, it destroys families, it destroys friendships. But that for me, when I go into something with someone, Sharon aside, I never go in thinking something is gonna go wrong. I know it does, you know, it does happen. But yeah, with Sharon and I, it just works. I don't know what the secret ingredient is. We get on lots of different levels. You know, she's my best friend. She's like my wife half the time. And we probably spend more time with each other than any other person. we know each other's strengths, even without sitting down and going, what's your job description, what's my job description, it just naturally just works for us.
It's very special, isn't it? And I think that that special connection that you have has definitely got you through the toughest of times, hasn't it? The beauty industry took a massive hammering during lockdown. And I know, and again, it was heartbreaking to see you and watch some of the stuff that was going on during lockdown because it just wasn't prioritised. And, you know, there was those horrendous moments when they'd say you can open, and then within a few hours maybe notice no you can't, and the stress of all that. We still believe that it's true that you've got to work for what you want. You know, you've got to make sacrifices 100%. If we had our time again, we'd probably be a little bit more self-aware, but would we change things?
Probably not.
Probably
what we might do is be like, for instance, you know, for me, I'm not great with my sleep and things like that. I'm not great. So if things start to get too much for me, I'll be like, well, it's your own fault because you didn't go to bed early. Do you get what I mean? Rather than thinking, just carry on. So I'll start to go, okay, if I still want to do all of these things, what have I got to do differently?
Yes.
Rather than let's stop doing the things. It's just like, well, what have I got to do? If I still want to achieve all these things, what do I need to do differently? Which might be, I need to go to bed early. I need to try and fit in, you know, some breathing exercises. When you get home, like something simple. Like if you go, you explode because you've had a crazy day. Have strategies to how you manage your relationships at home so you don't explode. So you can still have a crazy day, but you go home and, you know, I'll do it with Evan and G sometimes when they'll be bothering me with questions, and I'll just go, look, this isn't you guys, but can we just wait a minute? Because my brain's a bit frazzled from today. And we'll do that. And in about an hour, I'll be fine to answer all those questions. Whereas the flip side would be, they ask me the questions and I go, shut up! And then I feel guilty because I've told them to shut up. Whereas the strategy of me going, guys, just give us a minute.
Yes.
And then it goes right back to what we said at the beginning, just learning these little hacks at how to not do your life, but do your life in a slightly different way.
Yes.
And make it a little bit, you know, easier and more manageable and less stressful.
Yeah. I think the small point that you made is really important. We've just done a podcast, Patrick and I, about your habits, and it is about starting small, and the big point that you've just made is being self-aware. We still truly believe that you've got to work hard and do all the, you know, make the sacrifices and do what you need to do to get where you want to be and fulfill your dreams. But just have that now. What's great about now is people are much more try not to let all the wellness stuff overwhelm you and keep it really simple and do you work out what works for you.
Yeah.
And take those small, and once you've mastered one small step, you can then tackle another one and then tackle another one. Because while you're really busy running around, fulfilling your dream and making your sacrifices and doing what you need to do to get shit done, just check in with yourself every now and again and make that smallest change. So you mentioned the kids there, Evan and Grace. Are they 9 now?
Yeah, they're 9.
Can you believe how quick has that gone? Unbelievable.
Nuts. It's nuts. And it's, you know, it's a cliche. Everyone says it, but it is nuts. Not the night. The night.
Yeah. And boss. I'm guessing, boss, brilliant. And I guess they must inspire you, Nick, now. They're getting older as well. And are they a big factor in some of the stuff that you're now doing? Are you thinking you want to make a better world for them and not just others?
Yeah, you know? Totally. Because obviously, you know, they see a very busy working mum and dad. You know, Paul and I both got our own businesses. We're not as hands-on as perhaps what our parents were. You know, my mum worked really hard. She had jobs of an evening, but she was there of a day for us, and then she'd go waiting on. It's just different, you know, the lifestyle now, two parents working and all the expenses that come with that put different pressures on families, I think. So they see that, but I always try and like talk to them about that. So if I can't give them the attention that they need at that time, I won't just like make them think that what I'm doing is more important than them. I'll talk to them about it. And I think that's good. You know, my thing with my children is, you know, resilience, resourcefulness, empathy. I am really tough with them, to be honest. They get away with very little. If they fall over, it's like, get up. If they do something, I'm like, I try and make them accountable. And so I'm doing that with them at home. And I think, you know, the things that I've learned about like my emotions, holding myself accountable, being more self-aware is helping me be able to like support yes. them with that. I don't know whether I told you this, Evan was like, he was at something and this little boy was like not being nice, was being a bit like saying mean words to some of the other children. And Evan was like, "You're just not happy, are you? That's why you're being like this." And I was like, "Oh, is that what you said?" And he was like, "Yeah." Oh, because obviously that's what you want them to do. But I'm thinking, well, people, you know, sometimes bullies, and I'm not saying this boy was a bully, there might have just been stuff going on, aren't you to someone being rational with them? They used to have someone fighting them back or running away. Whereas he was like, you know, wanting to sit down and talk about it. And I was like, obviously he's done that because some of it is nature, some of it is the discussions that we have at home about managing conflict and stuff. But actually it was like, yeah, do you know what? I'm dead proud that he's done that. Yeah. And it's used the situation. The young one's probably gone, what are we doing here? I just got up. Someone wants to talk yeah. to me.
Yeah. But you make a really interesting point there. And that's one of the things that I've tussled with and doing in coming up with Talk On To Walk On, the podcast and the impact and difference that I want to make. And we're about to do this series around midlife. And I was thinking, you know, I want to help the next generation because we're instinctively, maybe because we're parents as well. And, I'm not just saying it's a Liverpool thing, but we're very family and giving. And, you know, it is in our nature to be a community driven, socialist values and all that. But what I realised that, well, they're not going to listen. They may not listen. They're not going to listen to me or listen to Patrick, maybe. I mean, I know Hannah and some of her mates and some of the lads especially do listen. And I've had some incredible feedback from some youngsters, but I know that they're not going to be my target demographic. But I had this like realisation one day that I thought, well, hang on a minute. I talk to Hannah about this stuff and I know that a lot of it goes in, even though half the time she's like, yeah, whatever, mum. But I know it goes in because I see the yeah. fabulous young woman that she is becoming and is actually now. She's 21. I keep forgetting that. I just think, well, if we can help each other in our network and in our generation, we can now talk to each other as midlifers about this stuff, then surely that'll pass on, that'll benefit the next generation, because if we feel like it's benefiting us, it's going to have a ripple effect and have an impact on your family and how you talk to each other and what messages you say to them, what little hacks you give to them. And it's a full circle to what we've been doing today. We share the hacks, we share our experiences, we're talking much more openly about how we're feeling and what we're going through and what we've done to address it. And it does go in, it does.
Yeah, it's multifaceted, isn't it? And yeah. what you just described is actually what we described earlier in terms of how people have come out of COVID, you know, being a bit more mindful about their relationships, you know. So if we're raising the consciousness and all of that, you know, if we're doing that ourselves and then we're passing that on to our children, there's a ripple effect there. Coming out of COVID, we were doing it when we were isolated. Then when we come out, we wanted our relationships to look and feel differently. There's another ripple effect. Mm-hmm. You know, Girls with Dreams Club, actually trying to reach out and get girls to come together. Because the other thing as well with Girls with Dreams is this connection. Mm-hmm. You know, I went to a reunion, it was a reunion of a building that was closing where I used to work. And when I worked for the Ministry of Defence, there was hundreds of us and it was so sociable, so sociable. You know, 28 years later, and I'm going and still seeing people from there. And you know what was really scary is that building is shut down now. They've moved it to Blackpool.
Yeah.
But a lot of the people who work for the MOD now are working from home. So these are people who were starting their journey. I imagine you know, when you were right back in the solicitors, it was the vibe, wasn't it?
Yes.
Relationships, friendships. Yeah. Romantic relationships, all of that was developed by the office environment. It's not happening anymore because they're
all at home.
I don't even know why I've come onto this, but for me, it was like it was quite scary. So, where are you getting your consciousness from? Your kind of where's your they're acting like that? So that's quite cool. So I might start acting it because we do that, don't we?
Yeah,
we get our
changes. We learning. Yeah,
if you're at home. And you're just logging on and you're doing your work that day. Where's all of that coming from? So it needs to come from somewhere else, doesn't it? It needs to come maybe from the person you get into a relationship with or, you know, your family. There needs to be as many different kinds of routes to just changing how we think. And the key for me is that like self-regulation, self-awareness. But yeah. You've got to understand, oh, what is this that I'm feeling? Oh, this is burnout. Oh, hang on. I've had this before. What am I going to do to stop this? Yeah. I'm dead angry. Let me think about why I'm angry and can stop myself from being angry again. How do I avoid that?
And it's also the skill set as well, the actual physical skill set of you know, like I know you talk about the Ministry of Defence, and again, coming back, that's where you started your career. Yeah. I know you did the bar work, and I did the bar work, and again, what a character building time that is to work in the hospitality sector, and you know, we've both come from families of workers, and then we went into both of us kind of similar journeys into the corporate route, but again, the working from home thing again is a whole we could do a whole podcast on, because. You know, you listen to people on the phone, you watch them communicate with each other, you listen to what they were doing, you watched how they worked, you learned from just being in that environment. But also, you know, there were certain characters that you never forget, who's, you know, and we'll come on to, I know you did the do of, I don't know his full name, but I remember reading the post about Tommy and what an impact he had on you. And it's so important. And it's things like, characters like Tommy that you'll never forget, because they say stuff when you're young and it stays and it underpins who you become, I think, sometimes.
Oh, definitely. There's numerous people in my like personal and in my like work life who they shape you, don't they're the original influencers.
Yes.
You know, we forget all this online stuff of people we don't know and we can't connect with. You know, they're your original influencers who kind of they help you develop your values and your behaviors, because you get it from your family originally, but then your work life, you know, and if we're lucky, we have people who take us under our wing and who you learn from. You might not always agree with them, but you learn even from not agreeing with people sometimes. So, you know, I've always been involved in the trade union movement, you know, that obviously come from my dad. And it was just a natural progression for both Amy and I and our Ryan to all become shop stewards, trade union reps. So Tommy was our branch secretary. So as soon as I started working in the Ministry of Defence, I was on the branch, you know, and that was great because you learned about like conflict resolution, negotiation, all these skills that have like stayed with me right the way through my career. But if you're working from home, who are you learning off? Where are you getting these, like, how to conduct yourself, how not to conduct yourself, you know, there's so much that's being lost, and
making mistakes, failing, making mistakes, and knowing you can pick yourself up, watch other people make mistakes.
My early years were, like, nothing to be proud of. It was the early 90s, and we all know what we were doing in the early 90s.
Well, if they were at your party, Nick, they will have seen exactly at least part of what you were up to. it's a whole we could be here all day, but I'm loving all the stuff that's coming out of our chat, as I knew I would. In terms of Nick today, and you've just had your 50th, and you fulfilled your own dream of DJing.
How brilliant was that and how did that feel? Really nerve-wracking, and plus I didn't really have a drink up until the that time of the party. I love house music, love it. And I've always, since I think I started working in the pubs when I was 18 and it was vinyl then, and I used to look at the DJ and go, I'd love to do that. But it's having the belief, isn't it? Having the ambition, having the confidence to go. And I'm not saying I've got all of that now. I think I've got more than what I had, but there's still some situations where I go, oh, should I, would I, all that kind of thing. And then you go, you know, you very much should have done that afterwards. So Mark Armstrong, who plays at my 40th, he's a dear friend, reached out to him, was like, you're going to be able to play me 50th. And guess what? I want to learn. And I am a nightmare when I'm out. I'm a proper snob with my music. You know, he's going up to DJs going, you're playing that too slow. That mix was rubbish. Can't you play this version of it? I am a bit of a nightmare. I know my house music. Anyway, I started taking lessons in the February, and there was only Sharon that knew that I was doing it, because I was disappearing once a week. It was the first time in a long time in the run-up to my 50th that I was taking the time to, like, go to the gym, go and have the, you know, go and have the facials, kind of going, you know, I want to feel good, run, and you know, on the run up to my 50th, and taking my DJ my DJ lessons. So yeah, it was we practiced from the February up until the July, and I haven't gone back yet, but I'd like to go back because I was dead proud of myself because I'm not bad either.
You were at, never mind, not bad. You had the room in the palm of your hand. And when that mask came off, I was thinking, that DJ's a bit little. Who's that? Because it was like a little dot on the back. And you had a mask on. And then I just knew, I was like, I don't know whether you heard me scream or whatever. I think there was a few of us that just went, what? I was so proud. So proud. I knew how much you loved to do it, and you fulfilled your own dream that night. Now we've come full circle.
We put these kinds of like desires and ambitions, not work, but these like personal things that we think, oh, that's just silly. People will think that's silly if I want to like, you know, start singing in a choir when I'm in my 50s, or you know, these like little, almost like the passions. That it's like, it's all about work, it's all about family, you know, these things that I want to do. If you didn't do them when you were young, you couldn't possibly do them at this age. And I'm like, I am proud of myself for doing it.
But no, it was brilliant, Nick. It really was. It was just, and I definitely think, honestly, since then, I'm looking at you and I definitely think you've got a new glow about you because you've taken the time to put you first.
It's kind of like slackened off a little bit now, but I'm mindful of it.
Like the DJing thing, Nick, this is something that we've done ourselves. It's our purpose at the moment, but also it's something that we're enjoying. You know, we're learning, we're growing, we're challenging ourselves. We want to see where this is going to go. Could end up, we've talked this morning about a foundation. You know, how can we connect and collaborate with others doing great things rather than going down ourselves, you know, roots ourselves and trying to reinvent the wheel. And you know, it's given us a real, well, certainly me, we, again, a bit like you and Sharon, we have had our moments, but it's because we're out of our comfort zone, and that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, added to what you said, it's the opportunities that you give them to the your guests that come on. Yeah. You know, the platform that you're giving to them for you know, for whatever it is that they've got going on, or they want to, you know, make more widely known.
Yeah, and that's one of our values, actually, certainly, and it's going to be sort of a bit stricter going forward. And to be honest, most of our guests have had brilliant purpose behind their stories and whatever, but definitely the value going forward, because we obviously do get approached for people to come on the podcast, it's not just about business, it's about, well, what else? It's got to have some purpose behind it for us to promote it and collaborate together. And again, it's not just at the end, the podcast comes to an end. We want to be part of the journey a little bit, you know?
I think what you and I were speaking about, I think last week, in terms of like your niche and the midlife and kind of, you know, what changes or what direction are people going in as a result of something that maybe they didn't think was going to happen, which can happen, or whether it's actually they've intentionally gone, I need to make a change, because sometimes it's forced upon us, isn't it? Circumstances, the environment, means that we find ourselves either through loss or whatever, that we need to do something differently. And sometimes it's just like, nah, it's time.
Because there are so many stereotypes and labels attached to being in midlife or middle-aged, I think there's almost an expectation. A lot of people think, well, you know, I'm now, you know, I'm in my 40s or 50s and I don't have the same energy. And people can so easily allow themselves just to drift and their lives to drift away. You know, the energy and the enthusiasm and the passion that you show is brilliant. And, that you know, one of the messages we try to put out is that we should be, you know, more like you. We should all be more like you in terms of that energy and enthusiasm. There's no reason why when you go through midlife, you can't keep that. It needs certain things. You were talking about, you know, sometimes you think, well, you know, I feel a bit ratty because I haven't had enough sleep. Or, you know, you might suddenly decide actually you need to change your diet a bit because you're not eating the right kinds of foods, which is all about the self-awareness point that you're talking about. I suppose the message is trying to get to people to say, look, when you're in midlife, just get a hold of yourself and think about what you need to do to keep yourself going and keep that energy and drive. And here you are now setting up new businesses. I'm sure you're going to carry on coming up with your new business ideas as the years go on. And it would be great if more people thought that way, rather than being all, well, I'm middle aged now, I'm not gonna party anymore, I need to slow down, and I can't really change anything in my life, and it's all too late, and it's all sort of a bit doom and gloom, whereas it should actually be a time of our life where we celebrate things.
But do you think sometimes though those kinds of like beliefs and behaviors haven't just come on people when they hit 40s, 50s? They've probably been like that all their lives, and maybe there's been lots of
good points
or things that they've not engaged with, or things that they've lost because they've had that kind of mindset growing up. There's probably a mixture of some people who go, now it's time that I can be, a grumpy old man or a grumpy old woman.
Well, I think you're right.
Some people just, and that's okay. I always say, if everyone was the same, they'd be nodding in the shops. When we'd all want like the purple jumper, if everyone had the same mindset and the same beliefs and everything. So we do need to have that, variation. But I think the more we're talking about self-awareness and holding ourselves accountable and self-regulation and all of this, I think we're actually being in a routine or in a cycle where it's negative and it stops you doing things you in your own way. And you don't understand why you're in your own way. If we can introduce these concepts and strategies, it might make people who are in this circle go, oh my God, have a word. Someone said before, have a word with yourself. That's my thing. You need to learn to have a word with yourself and go, stop being a this, or get over yourself, or you can do this. It's not always speaking to yourself negatively. Sometimes it's speaking to yourself positively and kindly. So you'd encourage yourself to do things. That for me is the key to it all.
Absolutely. And when you were talking earlier about girls with dreams, and you're talking about you're talking to these young girls about personal growth and self-development, and it suddenly struck me that in life, that's brilliant opportunity for people at that age. And then when you get into your 20s, unless you're working for a big company where they send you on courses and that sort of thing, during most people's working lives, there isn't any personal growth or self-development that's thrown at them. Whereas actually, particularly in midlife, that's really, really important. That personal growth and self-development has to continue. And that's probably the point you're making as well, isn't it? It hasn't happened. Yeah. And people need to slow down and think of that.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not within the school system. It never has really been. Most employers, even if you were office based, didn't introduce those, unless maybe you were like on leadership training. Some of these techniques and theories, if you went on, I know I've been on leadership training, you'll be introduced to, different types of motivation, emotional intelligence, those type of concepts. But it's not just out there and accessible for everyone. And, I went in the other day and my mum was like watching Stephen, the podcast.
Stephen,
I was like, this is great. This is great. And it's just more of that. And that little penny drop, the way I kick off, maybe next time, if I just think about what Stephen said, not that we won't kick off, but it's kind of where can we get all this like positive influence from that can just help us recognize, I think psychology, I did psychology A level and I think I lasted 4 weeks. And I think now, I wish I had, because it's just dead interesting, isn't it?
It is really interesting.
Our behaviors, how our brain works,
how. But the point you made about we don't want everyone buying the same purple dress. But at your party when you got up and DJ'd, I bet there were people in that room, or maybe not because they're all friends of yours, who would be thinking, God, I wouldn't be able to do that. Or, I'm so-and-so age, I couldn't possibly do that. And that's just the DJ is just an example, but it is a sort of a state of mind when you start. I mean, you talked about barriers as well earlier on. You start imposing your own barriers as to what you can and you can't do.
Definitely. And I'm probably still guilty of that with, there's maybe things that I would like to have done that I go, oh no, I'm too old to do. But yeah, I think we're all probably guilty of that. And then we all look at the people who do it and go, well, I wish I would have, you know.
Yeah, when you hear of a 98-year-old who's just jumped out of a plane, you know, skydiving or something, or abseiled off the edge of, you know, Liverpool Cathedral, you know, aged 80 or whatever, you think, wow, yeah. Wow. What, there's something, you know, what possessed them at that age to say, right, yeah, I want to do this and I can do it. It's great. Whatever it is, it's a great thing to have in your mind.
Nick, yeah. The one thing you can't say about yourself is woulda, shoulda, coulda, because you can't apply that to you, I have to say, as your friend and as a bit of a mini worshipper. You know, it's just in terms of you are inspirational, and I couldn't think of anyone better to get a fabulous group of people together to inspire the next generation, because, you know, it's something that you do instinctively, and now you're actually creating something that's, you know, that's tangible in terms of making that impact on the next generation. I just think it for you and for me watching you, it looks like, you know, you really are going after your purpose now. And I think as we do hit midlife, while we're talking about it, the key, I think, in midlife in finding a bit of a purpose, it's got to energize you, because we're all a little bit more knackered, aren't we? Do you know what I mean? So I think to find something that sparks your energy, because I think a lot of people struggle with, well, what do you mean a purpose? Well, it's really just, you know, again, sit, have a minute. What do you love? What sparks your interest? What gets you going? What gets your heartbeat going? What gets your passion going? What are your values? You know, what difference would you like to make, even if it's just the smallest impact? And you're just a great example of that. And I just, I think not only are you going to inspire the next generation, you're going to inspire our generation as well, because we could definitely use this in our midlife contribution to what we're looking to do in the Midlife Muddle series.
You know, and we've all been on training sessions where they ask you to talk about your business brand and they go, you need to think of your purpose. And I'd sit there going, what a salon. You know, and I'd be like trying to articulate. With a salon, and like, you know, we have lots of regulars and we do a good service, and I'd really struggle to kind of see what our purpose. I think it goes with dreams, it does happen more naturally. And I think, you know, going back to sort of where we are in our journeys, I think, you know, turning 50, this being something that I've wanted to do for a while, I'm not saying I've kind of lost my spark with the businesses, but it's kind of like, I just feel like this is the time for me to do something different. I did a master's in regeneration and management. I worked in that regeneration skills and education field. So it's always been, I think, where I'm probably more at home than running a commercial business, even though that's what I've done for, you know, for a long time now. That kind of community, kind of public sector service, kind of doing something wider than just it being like I'm running a business for profit, has always probably been where I feel most comfortable and think I can perform more as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, at 100%. And you will. I have no doubt that you will whatsoever. I'm going to close it, but what I'm going to say at the end is, I don't know who spoke to each other first, God knows how many years ago. Must be 40 years ago, Nick, maybe more.
St. Cecilia's, so yeah, easily.
Yeah, and we used to walk up home together. I don't know how when we discovered each other, but we suddenly realised that we lived near each other. We didn't hang out around together because you were, it sounds, it looks ridiculous now, but it felt like you lived so much further away from me because you stuck to your street, didn't you? Or you stuck to...
We passed my road to get to, and then you carried on, yeah. Like 3-5 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, in terms of power of conversation and where something's led to, how mad's that? You know, if we'd have predicted that 45 years ago, we'd be sitting here talking about your fabulous project that I'm hoping, you know, you've invited me to be a part of, Girls With Dreams. It's stuff dreams are made of, really, isn't it?
Yeah, we did a lot of walking and a lot of talking, didn't we, back and forward to St. Cecilia's. And I'm so happy that you agreed to, because you're so supportive. You know, you've just given me a lot of bouquets there, but I want to retain them. I know I can count on you, and not just because you're a good person, but you add so much value. It's not just like, oh, Michelle's really good. It's like, Michelle's like really good. It's just knowing what you can contribute. And also because of your coaching background, you know, you will say to me, are you sure this is something you can do? And as an entrepreneur, Shannon's not great at doing that because she kind of just lets me. So there's no one who I've got within my support network who can go to me, yeah, but Nick. So it's great that I've got you to be there for me and to kind of not keep me in check, but just make me think a little bit differently and not just want to like run head on.
I do
at times. And I think, you know, what you and Patrick are looking, where you're looking to take the direction of the podcast, it's just so needed. I think there'll be lots of people out there who will connect with it and will just maybe assess where they're at a bit more by listening to other people's stories. And, you know, not that they want to be the 92-year-old, 98-year-old, you know, abseiling down the cathedral. It might just make them go, oh, you know what, maybe I can apply for that job in that sector that I haven't, you know, I haven't, you know, maybe, you know, maybe I want to go into that field. Maybe I want to write that book. Maybe I want to become a podcaster. Just knowing that there's other opportunities out there, and it's only ourselves sometimes that stop us from going out there and taking the leap.
I love that. I think that's a great note to end on.
Indeed.
All the flowers sending back to us, and my head's swelling, Nick. Thank you so much, Nick. We could have spoken all day. We knew that had happened. We knew it would go long, and we knew we'll have a little bit of editing, but that's fine. It'll be an absolute pleasure to listen back to it. And I can't wait to share it with our listeners. So thank you so, so much.
Thank you guys for giving me the opportunity.
Brilliant. Love you.
Bye.
If you've enjoyed listening to our Talk On To Walk On podcast and you want to know more about our coaching, mentoring and talks offer, then go to our website, talkontowalkon.com. We would love to talk to you about how we can share our many life lessons so you, your team or your students can walk on in life with confidence. If you're listening to the audio version of our podcast, don't forget you can also watch full episodes and view highlights on our YouTube channel. Obviously, if you would like to sponsor our podcast, we would also love to hear from you. So let's connect, have a conversation, and you never know where it will lead.